This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay, points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and acornradio.org. A podcast will be available to the show on these websites and at affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to Lily Cornlett and Annika Lehr, who are students, believe it or not, at the University of California in Santa Cruz and part of the Everett program, and working in a partnership with Acorn International on technical solutions to social change problems. Do I have that right, sisters?
Yes.
No, pretty close. Okay, so Lily and Annika, we just spent some time looking at what might become soon a public service announcement in Honduras. What in the world are we doing, and do we know what we're doing? Who wants to start? Lily, you want to jump in first, and then Annika, or?
Yeah, go for it.
Looked like you were stretching and you were ready. If not, we're in trouble. Go ahead.
So we are doing a project in Acorn, Honduras, and we are making informational PSA videos.
That implies editing and collecting footage to broadcast on television to Honduras individuals and organizations to come together and create community-based change. Acorn does a lot of community work, which I think is really necessary in this time of revolution.
And we got lucky because we were able to approach a network of a TV broadcaster that has broadcast range throughout the country through various repeaters and whatever, and there's not a history or tradition of doing public service announcements like we have in the United States or in some other countries. So we said, well, you know, what would you think about running a minute or so, you know, PSAs? This guy who runs the station was educated partially at Baton Rouge at LSU, so he kind of, you know, he speaks English, he's somewhat familiar, he's got this, that, and the other footprint in the United States. So he said, sure. So then, that was last fall, and we've been talking about how to do that, and none of us are native Spanish speakers in this team, so we're also trying to, you know, cobble it together and write. So tell the listeners what the process was, Annika.
The process started with developing a partnership with Acorn International. They already were in contact with the Everett program through our director, Chris Benner, and Katie Roper. So our project came together pretty easily, just contacting Wade and other people of the international organization. But we focused on Honduras for the aspect of outreach, and that's where our partnership really melded, because they needed outreach, we needed to practice our technological skills that we're learning in these labs and Impactathons. So,
and what do you call them? Impactathons.
Impactathons.
There's a term that won't, you know, travel forever, but impactathon. It's like a hackathon with impact in it. Okay.
Yeah, they're short, highly effective, like work in a day. People organize together to create advertisements, posters, really technological-based products for organizations. So these projects that the student orgs are working with are long-term. So we're doing a long-term impactathon, creating this video PSA for Honduras.
And so we did some sample scripts that we might use in radio, and then y'all took a look at them and did but four different script ideas that we could do on a PSA. So how did that work? Lily, you want to jump on that?
So each member in our group got to kind of like break up our roles individually, and we each kind of had a specific task we would work on. Me personally, I'm like the editor, and I work with like the Adobe Premiere, which I learned in our specific tech lab. So I'm going to be.
And what is Adobe Premiere? Is that a software package?
Yeah, so that's how we're going to be creating our PSA videos. Okay. It's kind of like iMovie, but a little bit more advanced. So we were each like placed in a tech lab that would kind of like help the project come along. Jason was doing the social media and outreach aspect. And then Annika.
I'm the communication liaison through email and also creating the scripts.
Annika is who would email me most often, right? So, yeah. Okay, so we looked at those four scripts and we kind of, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and sort of picked which ones might most clearly express what Acorn was organizing around in Tegucigalpa and San Pedro Sula. In the past, we'd had this is, you know, too bad that y'all weren't on this team. A team from Everett went to Bengaluru and worked with our organizers in India for, like, on the ground for 6 or 7 weeks. It was quite an experience for everybody.
And then
last year, the team was helping us create a database, and they came to two of them came to New Orleans for a couple of 4 days. Y'all didn't get to travel at all.
I
don't know.
I
think it was discrimination. I think, you know, there was a problem here. You'll have to dig it up later with the Everett team. But there must be a lot of other projects that people are doing here, too. Why don't you give people a sense of what other students are doing here at Everett?
We have another group that is working for YEI, which is Youth Empowerment Institute. That is...
It's a California nonprofit, or what is that?
No, so that was actually created here at UCSC by our tech director, Yesenia.
Yesenia got to go to India.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. ask her about that.
But the summer camp is kind of just revolves around teaching the younger girls like all these little tech skills and helping them create apps and kind of preparing them for college and like showing them around and getting them comfortable with the whole environment.
Gotcha.
But that's like I think a week long, and they do two different sessions of it, and we've always had really good feedback from it. So that was
what cool. Other projects are people doing, Annika?
So there are projects internationally and locally. The Everett program supports students to travel and also gives us really good skills in grant writing. I think that's one of the most effective skills that we've learned here, how to create a proposal, ask for money, and actually implement a project. And then afterwards, to get a degree in this social enterprise, you have to write a review of your project. And so these are real world assignments that are not just
for a grade.
And how do you join? How do you become part of the Everett program or prod? How do you become
Everett program?
Everett person.
Well, it's a student run organization or group, but for me, I literally did the research on my own, and I was kind of just interested, and I was like, social justice, like nonprofits, like outreach, like it all sounds cool.
And yeah, what I joined, is that?
And I literally had no idea, but since like being here for a year, I'm really happy I'm in it, and I think everyone in this group is very like level-headed and has the same values.
And what year are you in?
I am a junior, so I have one more year.
And Annika, you're a senior, though.
Yeah, I'll be graduating in the next month.
But is this your first year in the Everett program as well, or
no? I've attempted other projects, but this project is the first to be fully funded and carried out. The other projects, the partnership didn't work out as well. Just communication issues and other outside problems, but I've been with the Everett program for 3 years. I was also a fellow for a quarter, which requires 5 hours of committed time to meeting with students, running a tech lab. So you are a student teaching other students what you have learned through the Everett program. So there's a lot of different aspects that come together, and like Lily said, it's a student-run organization, mm-hmm. so we're really putting together our heads and kind of creating this together. You know, we don't have a model of any other program like this. We're
No, it's a very unique program.
Yeah,
we're talking to Lily and Annika, who are part of the Everett program at the University of California, Santa Cruz. We're actually in Santa Cruz having this conversation. It's, you know, big trees outside, and, mm-hmm. you know, you sort of come through the forest, you know, find a building and things like this. I don't know if I'll be able to find my car to leave, but it's somewhere in lot 165.
We've got the ocean breeze.
Annika, before we started, you were telling me as you graduate, you're thinking about something pretty big as the next project.
Yeah, I'm going to be using the skills that I learned at Everett to organize a massive movement across America. I'll be backpacking with a group of people from California to Washington, D.C., getting ready for the 2020 election and really spearheading the climate change emergency. I would call it an emergency.
And we were talking about an organization called Extinction Rebellion, which, I mean,
they have those
we work in the
well.
UK, so we're very familiar with Extinction Rebellion. Did mm-hmm. a lot of actions recently.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that kind of model part of what you're looking at?
So it
or maybe
is
we should tell people what Extinction Rebellion is besides mm-hmm. you and I talking about like it.
Yeah.
This is the radio station. I guess we better tell people what we're talking about.
They're a nonprofit climate organization.
That believes in direct action.
Yeah, they are nonviolent direct action, so creating a community of people who are really passionate about an issue and using on-the-ground action to kind of stronghold politicians to really listen to us. At least in the U.S. and with my generation, it feels frustrating talking to politicians and just voting every 4 years. It seems like very slow, incremental action. And as I said, this is a climate emergency, which needs like real change. Saving, you know, your plastic and recycling is great, but the fact is that we need corporate and governmental at the very least, awareness. Our current president
and we're not suggesting that people should do this at home. Certainly not the sisters and I. But they, one of the actions that got huge attention is that they managed to stop business in the Parliament in London once some of the women with Extinction Rebellion sort of glued themselves to the screen in Parliament, and they didn't
right.
have some parts of their clothing on. So you know
right.
they were.
So.
Back and forth, the parties, or, you know, what are you doing? Look, but they got the point. That
there's a lot of controversy in resistance movements, and, yeah.
But they certainly got attention, and it was news throughout the world. And
right.
certainly, if you read, you know, things like The Guardian in London, you know, you got to read about, oh, who is the Extinction Rebellion? Welcome to a new group's in town. So
yeah, so kind of going off of that, tangent with the Extinction Rebellion, using like this direct action organizing, a group of friends and I have decided to really use our skills that we've learned in the Everett program of like writing a grant, writing a proposal for a project, and really implementing it. It takes a lot of communication, and it takes a lot of interconnected.
Because your proposal is walking across the country for
yeah.
8 months.
Yeah. I haven't really talked about it with my other teams, but
right.
that's an after college dream of mine to really like kind of put what I've learned here into action. And it may seem idealistic and very far out, but I think that the skills that I've learned really prepared me to do it, and so,
hey, look, yeah. I dropped out of school at 20 years old to organize ACORN, so there's not, I mean, don't...
Congratulations.
Don't think, you know, who knows what's a crazy idea if you actually can do it, you know, God knows what.
Yeah.
And do you have any crazy ideas you're thinking about, Lily? I don't want to, you know, just talk about backpacking, you know, and doing wild stuff across the country.
Yeah, I wish I had to do that. No, so for me, I just this is me completing my first year in the Everett program. So there's like three different classes we have to take, and each class teaches
us. Give people a sense of those classes.
There is the hands-on tech, so that is us kind of learning our tech skills so I can implement it in my future project. There's the Hearts on Change, which is kind of just...
Hearts on Change?
Mm-hmm.
Hearts.
Hearts. Because there's head, heart, and hands.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. And so what's that about, the Hearts on...
Heart is more like with our group and the Everett program, or with our organization and you, and it's kind of just not only having the tech aspect, but like the social justice side of it, and like the understanding and the... activism that
now,
goes into it all.
Are there readings for the class, or is it just discussion?
Yeah, no, we've had a lot of readings. This one specifically, like our last one, this is the first quarter we've actually got to begin our project, which is awesome. So Annika's like a step ahead of us in a sense compared to me and Jason, but this upcoming year I'll be completing my whole proposal and my capstone project for...
And what is a capstone project?
So for me, at least, I haven't started the capstone class yet.
What does
yet,
it even mean?
But instead of me doing a thesis, we pretty much get to do a project that...
Yeah, I'm in the capstone course right now. We kind of get to listen to researchers talk about their work. It's not taught by one person, but many people. Every class is a different speaker and... different issue that they're tackling, and so we decided to tackle the issue that that Acorn posed to us about community organizing and what it takes to engage a lot of people, and that goes into the Hearts on Change that you were talking about.
Good.
And so there's three different main courses.
And the last one is Minds on Justice, which is just being us,
being
and
aware,
social justice activists, and wanting to actually be change makers.
Well, they have cute names for the courses.
Yeah,
that's right.
They do. It's definitely a long process, but it's taught me a lot, and I think.
So the University of California, Santa Cruz, always used to have a reputation of being a very progressive university within the California system. Is that still true, or is that just, you know, one of those post-60 rumors or something?
I think we have made new developments. I guess they would be called progressive. There's still some issues with from the student body of the corporate side of the UCs. So
talk to me about that. What does that mean?
Well, the UC has this global leadership, and they invest their dollars in fossil fuels. They're still using unfair labor rights. So there have been multiple strikes at the UCs for two long years, and so it seems like the UC is progressive comparatively to the rest of the US, but at the same time there are some issues to be worked out. So always being critical and actively reflecting on our engagement here in the UC.
Well, that sounds like something you'd cover in Minds on Social Change or whatever you were saying, Lily.
Right.
Yeah, being reflective, being self-critical about where you are and where you're going. That's part of the progressive thing.
Yeah. And that's what I've taught or learned in my sociology classes as well. So.
We're talking to Lily and Annika, who are part of the Everett program at the University of California in Santa Cruz, and Acorn's been lucky enough to benefit from their work, and Jason, who's out doing something else right this minute on a project of Acorn Honduras. You know, one of the things that people read about all the time is the huge burdens of student loan debt, you know, for the generation that both of you are in. What's that all about? I mean... Are y'all going to graduate with huge burdens of debt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even in a university system like California?
Exactly. That's where that critical analysis comes in, where how are we not getting these basic needs met? A lot of students have food insecurity on campus. So there have been, in the last year, a lot of produce pop-ups and food pantries set up because the university isn't providing that necessity for students, which is interesting because, you know, we're paying $36,000 a year.
I was going to ask what it costs to go to.
So,
yeah.
They're not very transparent in interactions. So
you could go to Harvard for that or something, you know,
right,
a couple of
right.
years ago, but not
right.
anymore. It's probably $100,000 now. But still, $36,000, and that's every year for 4 years. So you're talking
yeah.
about you could end up with $150,000 worth of
yeah.
debt almost.
And I would consider myself very privileged. I come from a middle-class rural town, and I have massive amounts of student debt.
And how much massive amount of debt will you have when you get out of school?
So my grandma did leave a little drop in the bucket, but over 30,000 right now, for sure.
And that's almost the average right now, something like $36,000
yeah.
per student when they graduate from school, so you'll
yeah.
be right near the average. And do you have any idea? You still got another this year.
I still
year,
got another year. So far, I just have 1 year down. I got maybe one scholarship, which was nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then on top of it, we have a huge housing crisis out here going on, so...
And so when we talk,
especially
so
rent.
Where do you live on campus? Or?
There is no room to live on campus. So
you have to...
We've had a lot
They've converted the lounges to quad rooms. They've pushed people into double
rooms.
The lounge
would have been the sort of like the living room of a student housing.
It would have
now
been
there's beds
place.
In there. Is that
mm-hmm.
what you're saying?
Yeah. I lived in a room that was made to be a double, but they put in another bed, so it was a triple. People are living in garages, shacks, cars. A lot of students are getting harassed by the police to not sleep in their cars on campus. So it's an issue in our school papers. And
when you say
yeah.
there's food insecurity, isn't there a food plan or something? Or
yeah, there is. It's
so
pretty
expensive.
So these
are students who can't afford the school plan, so
yeah.
you end up...
So, yeah, there's a lot of, I think... there's a lot of unsureness of where our money is going.
And part of this is because even in California, there's just not the funding for higher education, even in a public system,
right. mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
there was once. I mean,
right.
Well, we even have a strike this upcoming Thursday because of our wonderful administration, but
yeah.
it affects our clouses. Just for all of the workers and the staff here,
okay.
and like that means all the bus stops won't be working. There's no way for us to like get to campus. Some teachers have
a beautiful campus on a hillside, but you cross driving here. You cross and says you're there.
It's the biggest UC campus.
2 miles, you know, until you get to here.
So there's no way you could walk to the entire campus.
It's very inaccessible for like wheelchairs because it's like on 30 acres of land, and you know you have to walk through the forest to get to class. So
literally,
yeah,
walk through the forest.
Yeah,
sounds like we're Goldilocks, and you know there's nothing but problems coming for us.
Yeah.
So student loan and student debt is still a pressing issue for everybody then here.
Yeah.
Even in a
there is not a lot of
yeah.
there's not a lot of public access for loans or like even grant money. Private loans are very scary to me because that debt like can go on past
forever.
Generations. So there's...
Well, you don't even want to know this, but you know the law, Congress has allowed them to take up to 25% of your Social Security when you get elderly mm-hmm. if you haven't paid off your student,
yeah.
your federal
thankfully,
loans.
Thankfully,
here
we
are,
don't
probably,
have...
And you're hardly, I don't know how old you are, 20 or 21, and you
right.
could be 66
right.
or 67 and still paying your student loans another 40-something.
Thankfully,
mean,
we don't
let's
have...
Let's not go there. Let's talk about potable water in Honduras. Now we're getting too close to home.
Right.
I was like, I gotta pay rent.
Thankfully, we don't have debtor's prison in America, but it's a different sort of... structural.
But as you know, and because of the criminal justice system and many other, you know, predatory lending schemes, we have something very close to debtor's prison.
The poor get prison, yeah.
You know, in Florida, they recently passed a measure for former felons to finally be able to vote, but now the legislature there just passed something saying you had to pay all of your fines and court fees, mm-hmm. which is like a poll tax, I mean, that could be thousands of dollars for somebody who's scuffling trying to find a job.
Yeah.
So what is, if you have to live off campus here, what in the world might rent cost you per person?
I live in a one-bedroom apartment with one other person, and I pay about $2,000 a month, and that's not
so
including...
So you share a bedroom with somebody.
Oh, yeah. And it's
not a one-bedroom apartment, you're living with one person.
My parking spot or all my utilities.
And that's $2,000 a person.
No, so, yeah, it's $1,000
for the
each,
unit.
But for each
okay,
of us, and
but $1,000
is the size of a box.
That's not cheap rent.
No.
Yeah.
No. And that's on top of paying tuition and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard we have a lack of teaching classes for this, especially this quarter, because all my classes were usually just twice a week, and this quarter I had to do them 5 days a week because certain professors left for my major, but that was hard because then I only work 2 days a week, which means I'm busy 7 days a week, and
right.
I don't have a life.
Right. But I hear from a lot of the older generations, like, well, I went to college and I worked, and we are doing the same thing, but it's just under different circumstances.
Expensive ones.
Yeah.
So, but the Everett program, you feel, does prepare you for things as you get out of school? Or
for the work that I want to go into, nonprofit, organizing, activism, this is very preparational for me.
And do they connect you with organizations, or?
Yeah.
They kind of give us the choice to pick, too. So some students even have, like, independent projects.
Okay.
Which means they get to personally reach out to an organization that maybe, like, hits home to them or is back home wherever they're from. I think there's, like, three people in our group that have been doing that, and all their projects are super cool. You can tell it means a lot to them and to the communities they're working with.
So how many people are total in the Everett program?
We have a lot this year.
Really?
I just got accepted into the fellowship for the following year.
Okay.
And I know they had to cut some people because a lot of people wanted to join. But I think there's over 40, maybe 50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's a huge program.
Yeah, and that's not like including the incoming class that will like start to do the Everett program.
Well, and you have partner, I mean, Acorn International has been lucky enough to be one of the partner organizations for the last 3 years, and I don't know how many partners, I mean, I haven't looked at the website for a long time, but there are some partners who are regular.
We have a good amount of regular ones, which is really nice for
And I think most of them are in, I mean, I obviously am not from California, but most of those are California-based, or is that
not
true?
All, but a majority, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which must also give you some opportunities. You can build some relationships that you might be able to bridge.
Oh, it's making a lot of connections. We have a lot of opportunity to have like this creative freedom to kind of pick what we want to change in the world.
A creative freedom in a professional setting, too. It's very...
That sounds like a slogan. Creative freedom and a professional slogan. Join the Everett program, because we're down to the last couple of minutes. So if people wanted to know more about this kind of program and what it might do where they are, or wanted to contact Everett and find out more about what you're doing, how could they do that? Is there a website?
So we do have a website. It is www.everettprogram.org.
EVERETT, right?
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. We have a major that was created by the Everett program.
Excellent.
So it's a intensive sociology major. You can find information on the GISES website.
How do you spell that?
G-I-S-E-S, or G-I-S-I-S, and it's Global Information in Social Entrepreneurship Studies.
There you go.
So technically, any student in any major could join this and have it as a concentration to their major. So I almost did law at first, and I could have still had GISES as
my intensive
concentration.
And what is your major, Lily?
So now I'm doing sociology with the intensive concentration, and then I'm minoring in
There you go. Well, This has been fascinating. I want to appreciate both of y'all and all the help you're giving Acorn International, and looking forward to these PSAs as soon as they're ready, and we'll make people listen to them on Wage World.
Oh, yeah.
This has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wage World. Thank you.
This program is produced by WAMF 90.3 FM in New Orleans, Louisiana, and distributed by Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, a grassroots effort to produce public radio news and information serving the needs of low and moderate income working Americans by providing a platform for voices not commonly heard in mainstream media. For more information, please visit our website at affiliatedmediamovement.org.